We're opening the meeting at 7 o'clock.
Thank you.
The invocation will be done by Mike Spence and the flag salute by Steve Cox.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we can gather here as the West Main Unified School District Board of Trustees. We're grateful for our district, for those who work so hard, and for the parents that allow us the opportunity to serve their children. And we ask a blessing on this meeting, that it would be a productive one, and this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Here.
Here. Here.
Here.
Here.
Here. We're going to make a presentation, but she's not here. Do we make it without her?
We'll just go ahead and have Mr. Seaman accept it on her behalf. Oh, she's coming over.
Oh, well, then by all means, we should hold up the meeting.
We will move on to the report and move back to that when she arrives.
Yep.
There's nothing to report out of closed session this evening. Is there anything that any board member would like to speak to?
The great gay escape, or whatever it's called, what is it?
Gate.
And it was horrible. It was horrible. It was just, I mean, there were so many kids there, so many parents. You couldn't park, you couldn't get in, you couldn't even get in the bloody cafeteria. So I had to leave, and then they finally showed up.
But we were delighted to have so many people, so thank you. We were thrilled.
It was a nice event. The kids loved it.
They had a ball.
Congratulations.
Student board member report.
Okay, so at West Covina this Saturday, our dance gel team swept and got first place in all divisions at their competition. And yes, they're on a roll. And next week we have our KC testing Tuesday and Wednesday, English, language, and math the next day. Also on Thursday and Friday, or next Thursday and Friday, we have our Bulldog Idol. It's kind of like an American Idol with all the talented kids can sing and compete. And we also have the Battle of the Bands the next day for the more rock and roll, well, kids at our campus.
Ooh,
and this Thursday, we have elections for the new AUSB office. So as of Friday, I will be a lame duck officially. And that is all.
I'm sorry to hear that you'll be a lame duck. We're going to move on to our presentation to the district, the 2009 National Association of School Nurses Education Advancement Award. And
Maria, would you please come forward? I know that you all know that she's been a longstanding employee of our district, but she's always amazing us with recognitions throughout the state. And tonight, we wanted to make sure that we added our congratulations. So, Mrs. Polis?
We wanted to present you with this certificate in appreciation for all you do and the excellent how you represent us so well, and the excellent care that you give to all of the students who need your help. I know that every time you come up, you've talked to me about diabetes, special ed, special glasses for students, you name it, you do it. And we're so proud to have you as a nurse in our district, and I know that our students have benefit every day with having you as our representing our nurses.
Thank you. I couldn't do it without my partners. Mm-hmm. Sharon. And
yay.
Angela. We can't do this alone, so they're wonderful.
They're a good team.
We're a good team.
But wow. And I haven't had the opportunity to meet either of you, so this is exciting. And I know that you make a difference, too.
And we also have a great boss.
Yes.
And we're very lucky to have him. But But I want to tell you that when I tell people about the stuff that I do in this district, they are just amazed. And it's a wonderful, wonderful and rewarding job.
And I know students come first to you, and that's what makes all the difference. Thank you.
There are no blue cards in front of us. So is there anybody who wishes to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, we're moving on to the organizational part of our agenda. Is there anything anyone would like to take off of consent? Mr. Spence?
Item 6.
Item 6.
Second.
It was moved by Steve Cox and seconded by George Fuller to approve the agenda and consent items with taking off number 6. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. So we are now on item number 6,
Mr. Spence. I'd like to move approval of this item with the exception of PO number 0903245, the over $30,000 for Margaret H. Chide, Stern Associates, on page B.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. And I'll move the approval of that PO number.
Is there a second on that motion? I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
It passes 4 yeses, 1 nay, and being Mike Spence. Item number 11.
Thank you, Mrs. Polis. I'd like to give some introductory remarks and then call on Mr. Frutos to present the interim report. Let me say that we have worked very diligently to make sure that our school district remains focused on students and remains focused on the work of instruction and improving instruction in the classroom every day. One of the things that we have done in order to do that is not brought information that would be disruptive to teachers or to any of our personnel without factual information from the state or other places so that we could continue to maintain our strong relationship with everyone in the district as well as our strong focus on instruction. You may have heard, and I'm sure you've read in the media every day, that many districts will be utilizing many methods to balance their budget. First, I must say that we, your employees, are very fortunate to work for you as board members in this district. We have enjoyed the wonderful financial planning and assistance and policies that you have given to this district throughout the years. It has made our job much easier, and it has really benefited our students over the years as well as today. I know that oftentimes you have had to make some very difficult decisions in terms of budgets, in terms of negotiating with unions or negotiating with associations. And those times have always been difficult because I know, as you have stated many times, that if you could give more, you would. And I believe that this board has not only acted in a very prudent manner in terms of being public policymakers when it comes to public dollars, but you've also added an accountability for all of those that work for you in this area. We have worked to look at every district around us as this process has begun. And you know that one of the things that has helped West Covina tremendously, besides your leadership and your institution of these policies, has been the fact that our enrollment has been somewhat stable. Our school district continues to attract many students, not just from our own boundaries, from other boundaries to our district. And that has been a very positive, it has had a very positive effect on our bottom line. Many districts have lost in the hundreds of students. We have lost students, but have really been stable in that loss. So it's been a trickling effect, but it's not been a great impact on our overall budget. So that has helped us tremendously, which has not helped many other districts. The other thing is that our commitment to class size reduction continues to be at the forefront of what we do. We believe that offering small class size, especially in grades K through 3, is an important asset to our instructional program. Even though the state did not vote to change the class size reduction program, they did change the penalty fees that they will impose on districts that increase class size. Now, those fees and those kinds of decisions will be made in most of the districts around us. We have heard that many of them will be increasing class size. At this point in time, I feel strongly that we can maintain at least for another year the class sizes that our students have enjoyed and that have maintained what I believe is the right environment for instruction. In addition to that, you have heard that many districts have given RIF notices to both certificated and classified employees. Our district has about 10% of its certificated staff who is on a temporary basis in their assignment. And those are the people that usually, when there are budget cuts based on seniority, those are the people that first go out. Assuming that our enrollment continues stable, we hope to bring back our teachers that are today in a temporary status. But they have been notified that should our enrollment not show, we would have a reduction in our certificated. At our next board meeting, we will be talking to you a little bit about our classified staff. We have looked at every single position in every single office and school in this district and looked at any vacancies that we can close in order to save those positions for people that are now our employees. We are looking at a reduction of hours so that we don't have to put people on the street. And we are looking at really taking a hit on the operating budget, not just of the district, but of schools. All schools, should the board approve our interim report and our plans, would take a hit of approximately 15.4% in all their budgets, which would amount to quite a bit of money for them in terms of running the school, but at the same time would keep personnel and keep jobs. So we will have less supplies, we will have less contracts, we will have less perhaps of many of the activities that we've enjoyed, but we will keep the core of our program in instruction. We will also be able to look at districts around us who are going to take their reserves in their budgets, and the state is saying they can go from 3% to 1%. We think that would be a mistake. We believe that we should maintain our 3% reserves because it's in times of emergencies that people need that kind of money. And we don't want to put our district into that position, but we know there are districts around us that are going to go into a 1% reserve rather than a 3%. In addition, some of our districts around us have talked about parcel taxes. Increasing taxes so that the school can maintain its operating budgets, its personnel, etc. I do not believe in the state of this economy and in the state of our families that we should put an additional burden on them. And therefore, we will not be recommending to this board any kind of a parcel tax or tax increase for our families. Many of our districts around us are cutting summer school. We are recommending that we scale down our summer school program, but we will continue to have a summer school program for both our elementary, our middle, and our high school students. We won't have one at every school site, but we will be able to give our summer school supplemental hours to those students who most need it. And we will be bringing forth a plan to show you of our organizing for summer school. In addition to that, the state is giving us an opportunity not to adopt or to request a waiver for the adoption of textbooks. As you know, every 7 years or so, the state, you know, comes out with new textbook adoptions. And we believe that West Covina should continue to adopt its textbooks in the timely manner, not delay that decision, and try to save money by not buying new textbooks. We will continue to recommend to you that we do that. In addition, some of the school districts around us are closing schools. It takes a lot of money to operate schools that are small. Our kids, our students, our teachers, and our employees enjoy a wonderful size to their schools. We have opened up a middle school so that there will be no middle school in this district that's in the thousands. As you know, Edgewood Middle School for a long time was 1,500. We will now have three middle schools so that our students enjoy a much smaller school in which personalized attention to those children are given on a daily basis. We have schools such as California and West Cove that are very small, which cause administrative overhead to be rather large. We, again, believe that's to the advantage of our students. And so at this time, we are not recommending closing of schools. We're not recommending changes in school size in order to deal with the budget. What you will hear from Mr. Frutos today is a three-pronged approach to balancing our budget. The first one is on the reduction in hours and cuts into operating budgets and closing vacant positions, which I call to, you know, for my lack of a better word, we're looking at different efficiencies. How can we take general money and save it and use Title I and categoricals to fund a position in order to save it? But since categoricals are also being hit, it really takes very diligent work on the part of our staff to make sure that we meet all compliance, but yet that we're able to balance our budget, and you will see that today. So you will see, one, that we are looking at our efficiencies, closing positions. We're going to have less clerical. We're going to have less clerical as a school district, but our people will still be employed. We will have less money for supplies, but our people will still be employed. We will have the same number of schools, but our people will still be employed. At least for this year, that is the situation. Now, I would like to also say to you that we have increased revenues in the past 3 years in this district. And every time we've increased revenues, we have put that into our rainy day bottom line. We get criticized for having carryover balances in our budgets, but it's times like this when people are grateful for the kind of conservative financial prudence that has been expedited in this district. And mostly because what you'll see is that as we've had to renegotiate with partners, whether it be the use of buildings or the use of Xerox machines, or the use of Coca-Cola vending machines, or charter schools, as we've renegotiated, we have tried to make sure that everyone participates both in the joy of being in West Covina and the expense of being in West Covina. And so we have also augmented the revenues that our district has brought in. And lastly, we will take a small portion, and I say small because it's only temporary. We will take a small portion of our balance in order to balance our budget out of our rainy day bottom line balances. But I want to stress to you that come May 19th, when the voters go to the polls and decide whether things are going to be increased out of taxpayers' pockets, this may have a change in terms of what we do in the future. But right now, the program we're going to present, of course, takes away any type of COLA. As you know, our district has been very careful in not overpaying out of COLA so that then you have to take back wages. Many districts that are taking back teacher wages and employee wages is because they couldn't afford to give them in the first place. And again, I believe that we have tried to maintain a very employee, child-centered, West Covina is the best, but we've done that through everyone sharing in both the positives and the negatives that we're going to be facing. So I would like you to know that in November, Mr. Frutos gave this board a presentation about the state of our budget. And at that time, he had estimated, after listening to all the reports, that we would probably get a hit of about 2.6. Our hit is about 2.8. And that closeness of that that amount of money is really unprecedented, which means that we really have a pulse on the expenditures and revenues of this district. And so we believe that the students in West Covina will continue to enjoy a quality education. We believe that we have not gone out and said to people that this is easy. We are not immune from the budget that the state and the nation is facing. We're not immune from that. But we have everyone willing to participate in figuring out a way so that this has the least disruptive impact on our students. And with that, I'd like to call Mr. Frutos.
Members, Superintendent. What we have done over the last few weeks is try to work with the information that we have from the state and the county to prepare for you not only an interim report that will carry us through the end of the year, but also a budget projection that will carry us for the next three fiscal years. And as you have read in the news, there have been a lot of different sets of information and several packages worth of state budgets that we had to go through. And the reason why I'm mentioning this to you is that on one of the slides, we're going to go back in time to November just to see how we were doing when we gave you the first budget presentation for projections for the following year. As you know, the state had first announced a COLA of several points. By the time they were done, the COLA was 0.68. In some districts, especially those that have formulas or ratchets, that amount has been included and in some cases negotiated. What we did with our budget, and this is something, again, that we presented back in November and at the beginning, is it was a set aside that was never considered a revenue for expenditures in the current year. That, as you will see in the presentation, proved to be very good because it allowed us not to have a significant higher amount of expenditures that would put us in a negative position for our interim report. The state has now proposed several deficits. One is implemented for the current year, or 9.685, which means for every $100 that we get a reduction of that percentage. The overall reduction for this year for the state is $6.3 billion. Now, what does that mean for us? There are two numbers that we're going to be working from now until the end of the year. One is the reduction of our COLA, which we just explained, and the other one is going to be a total reduction for our district, which is $2.8 million. That's our piece of the pie of that $6.3 billion. For next year, there's a COLA announced, and it's a significant one, 5%. But guess what? They already said it's not funded. So what will you see in our budgets is a zero, kind of like what we did this year. The revenue limit deficit is already projected at 16%. So as we propose to you our multi-year projections, they're deficited because we believe that's a reality. Now, what has happened? You've seen this chart. This is one of the charts that we presented to you in November. It's been updated. The number of qualified and negative districts, meaning that their interim reports or their budgets don't get approved, has gone from an average of about 45 to approximately 107 in the current year. The number of negatives has gone up to 13 from around 6 in the last few years. There was a bad year back in 04, in 03 or 02. What this indicates is that a lot of districts are having serious difficulties. Our interim report that you have in the board packet is finished. We already sent it to the county for review, and it will receive a positive certification in the current year. What that means to us is that as we prepare for our audit, and the auditors are already here, we expect to bring you an audit that will be balanced, and as in the past, where our series of reports, first interim, second interim, and annual report, are approved and in balance. This is another area that we've looked at before. What are the categories that we have the most concern? Obviously, our fund balance is a significant category. You've seen us over the last few years have an increase in some of our ending balances in order to prepare for changes in economic conditions. That is today. today is the change in economic conditions. We have our reserve for economic uncertainties guarded at the full 3%. We have not done interfund borrowing, meaning we have not gone to either other entities or within our own funding to try to patch cash flow situations or the general fund. Our encroachment is in those areas where it's typical, special education, for example. And we've done several steps to monitor our budgets, whether it's position control, the evaluation of enrollment. Mr. Seaman provides enrollment. We provide attendance, match the two, try to make sure it remains unstable. Our health benefit negotiations, as you know, have been stable because we have a cap. And our charter school agreements have proven successful in the last few years. One of the most important things is that our audit report does show that our cash flow position continues to be stable, which we like. As you know, one of the proposals from the state this year is that cash will be suspended. It appears to be a reality where some of the cash that we were supposed to receive over the next 3 months will actually be postponed until August or September, as opposed to some districts that are already asking the county to borrow money either from the Treasury or from their own funds that are in suspense. We will not be requesting that for our budgets. Now, what does this really mean for our district? These are our real numbers. As I had mentioned to you, we don't deal in a world of percentages. Everything we do in this district is in cash. We get cash per student. We don't get a percentage increase because the percentage is a political number, and it applies to our own revenue limit. This is our revenue limit for the last 5 years. And what you see is how the progression of numbers from COLA, equalization, and deficit takes you to where we are today. And if I can point to the next to the last number in the next to the last column, that 5641 is our reality today. So what does that mean to us? That our budget has suffered a 2.61% reduction. So there are two numbers that we're going to keep in mind. One is our $2.8 million, which in percentage means about 2.61. And we'll show you next how we are addressing that, as the superintendent mentioned. When you look at that 2.61, that has to have dollars attached to it. Where did we lose our dollars? Where? The first one is the COLA reduction. We were, I'm going to say, lucky enough not to include it in any of our projections for revenues, but it's a real loss of $350,000. Our revenue limit is the biggest hit. Our revenue limit is that dollar amount that we get per student. I often make the joke that while you see a student, I see about $7,000 walking around. That amount got hit significantly, and to us it's a loss of $1.3 million. We have been benefiting from strong interest rates. About 3 years ago, if you remember, we used our cash and we put it in a longer-term interest with the Treasury. We still keep it with the Treasury. But it generated several hundred thousand dollars a year more than we had ever received before. Well, interest rates have plummeted. If you have looked at any type of investment that you have, so have ours. So we've touched our interest in two areas, one in our cash and two in our budget. So you'll see in another slide something called transfers and allocations. Some of those amounts are amounts that we receive from other funds or, as the superintendent said, from partners. As they lose money, those allocations that come to us also become a little bit smaller. And finally, deferred maintenance. Deferred maintenance has been the target of almost every state budget in the last few years. It's one of the first ones to go away. They take away the funding. At this present time, we expect to lose $56,000 plus another amount that you'll see in another slide that we are covering by providing the services, but it's still a loss. So what is our subtotal in the general fund? A little over $2 million. Then in the categorical side, it was basically, as it is, a category of blocks, a block reduction. 15.4, as the superintendent said, off the bat, and we are expecting another 4.5 next year. So overall, our current economic picture is that we need to figure out a way to work with $2.8 million. How did we address that? Well, as the superintendent said, we went through a lot of different structures, and the structure that appeared to make the most sense is one where we didn't really take any one measure. And in one of the discussions that we had with the superintendent, he said, I don't want the easy solution of just come back with a simple formula. Look deep. So we looked at our efficiencies and areas of adjustment. We looked at transfers and how the balance could help us meet the whole. And then at the revenues that we generate that are ongoing. To begin with, we looked at efficiencies and adjustments, and we came up with about $1 million. That took away about 35% of the problem. And we looked at transfers and the ending balance. It took another about 32% of the problem.
And the revenues that are ongoing that we generate every year took about another 31. So if you look at it, it's somewhat balanced at about 30-some percent in each category. I'll start with the first one. This is a list of what we call real people, real positions, real changes. If you look, for example, at some of the adjustments that we make, and I'll briefly go through some of them. We had a position in this district where we had painters and grounds employees that were paid stipends. Those stipends have now been reduced. That's a reduction to the general fund. We have grounds workers that were reduced in hours and facilities projects workers that were working on various projects that have not been replaced. As I mentioned to you, our routine restricted maintenance program got reduced from the state. But we didn't reduce the services. Doors need to be fixed. Things need to be done. So what we're doing is we're trying to concentrate the services doing with existing staff and working on trying to get better costing for supplies. So the money goes away. The service continues. We lost a reprographics clerk. We came to you last year and asked you to allow us to do a new contract for copiers. There was one particular thing that we wanted. Our old copiers were standalone machines. We wanted copiers that were IP devices, meaning I can send a job from here, goes there, nobody needs to be sitting there copying. All our copiers are now like that. Thanks to purchasing, we negotiated a lower cost per copy and a new service where a lot of us can do our own copying, and therefore the services continue. Plus, we train the staff in the warehouse to do some of the major jobs, so that's a real position. Nobody got terminated. Somebody retired and didn't get filled out. The same happened in our business department. In reprographics, because of the renegotiation of the contracts, you actually save money. Technology services, in two areas, you will see food services coming to our assistance. Food services has been generating revenues over the last few years. One of the amounts that comes from the feds that allows us to save money by buying federal commodities has a surplus. And the feds finally said last year, you have to spend it, and you have to spend it in areas of support. So one of the areas of support is technology. So some of the expenses that before we didn't charge for now get charged to the food services department. That generates about $15,000. We are funding our ISSs as a proposal for next year with EIA. That saves us about $64,000. In the area of pupil services and at Edgewood, they are reducing some of the clerical positions. The same with instructional assistants, media assistants, secretaries, some aides at some of our schools, instructional assistants, and in some of our categoricals, we have amounts that are carried over or that are allowed to be moved because, as you remember, the targeted instructional grant is now the targeted instructional block grant, and it helps us support our GATE program and our transportation program. So those are real dollars that we can save. And finally, one of the most creative things that the Instructional Services Department came up with this year is to really do what we do, move and transfer expenditures. And we've been working with the idea of capturing some SIP funds, meaning funds that at one point were considered categorical, but because those expenditures can be moved now with the flexibility allowed by the state, the general fund or some of the categoricals that are more general could save $130,000. So every one of these can be tied to real reductions that are ongoing. So that takes care of the first million to district efficiencies. Now, what has happened with transfers? Well, let me tell you something that happened to our budgets, and I'm going to take you back in time 4 years. Over the last 4 years, we've received COLAs. Every year, we have received a positive COLA. Then it's deficited, and a variety of mechanisms occur to it. But at the end of the day, we still have a positive. What we have done is that we've negotiated good contracts. We've been able to pay our step and column. We've been able to pay our insurances, including some increases. And every year, there's been an amount that we can carry over. That little differential, like with savings, builds up over time. So if you look at a differential of a quarter of a point 1 year, 0.75 the other year, another year a half a point, now you end up with a couple of points over 3 years that if you have a reduction this year, remember what our reduction was, 2.61. You can see it there in the upside-down chart. We have enough within that structure to cover that amount and allows us to move into next year. So some of those transfers, some of those things that you have allowed us to do over the last few years, negotiating contracts, moving things, allow us now not to have to do a take back like some districts are doing or some strange thing to somebody's calendar. Next is efficiencies and revenue generation. As you know, we've tried to renegotiate contracts with anybody that will talk to us, from the city to some of our partners to vendors. We see a contract, we try to say at some point when it terminates, let's talk. And that has generated a lot of money, especially for those partners that are growing. We sometimes can remain stable in attendance, and that allows us not to lose money. But if our partners are earning more money, and that can happen through a vendor or something, and we have some income coming, our income increases. We've done a good job with that, and over the last couple of years, our annual income has gotten over $500,000, and that's ongoing and helps us. The other thing that we've done that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but you'll see in another slide that it's ballooned, is the fact that we used to not fully benefit from E-rate. Now, if you think about it, 5 years ago, we were paying for five T1s for our elementaries, a couple of T1s for the high school. Doesn't mean a lot to you, except it's a slow connection. You know, we paid $500 a month per connection. It was paid by the general fund. Everybody's happy. It's another utility, no big deal. We set up a plan. And you remember, we came to you to ask us to transfer from Verizon to Charter. The superintendent guided us to a series of negotiations to expand. And now we don't use T1s. We have a fiber optic backbone. We have 10 megabytes, or about 8 times the speed at every elementary. Doesn't seem that way sometimes because people are downloading videos that they couldn't even look at before. All our high schools are at 100, and the district is at a full 100 that they didn't have before. It's still, as Tandy comes up with a new fancy program that requires more bandwidth, we want more, but we are 10 to 100 times faster than we were before. If we were not using E-rate, those costs would have gone about 50 times. What E-rate does, it discounts, and it allows us to save in the purchase of equipment. The same has happened with some of our partners like Coca-Cola, and that gives us an ongoing $95,000 a year. But more importantly, we didn't have to spend general dollars to increase our utilities in the areas of telecommunications. The same goes for virus checkers and all the other devices we use. So together, it's about $886,000. That's our revenue generation portion. Finally, in the area of efficiencies like transfers and balances, we have several areas where we've negotiated contracts that are beneficial. Our workers' compensation over the last 3 years has been phenomenal, even with some pretty serious situations that we've had. That has reduced our rates or stabilized them, so as we budgeted more, because every year it was going up, that differential gets saved and allows us not to move it. We have programs, as I mentioned, like food services, that now can absorb some costs that the general fund was absorbing before. And I'll give you one good example. We needed a truck. We were desperate for a truck, and Stuart's here so he can vouch for this. We met together and said, how do we buy a truck? Who has money to buy a truck? Nobody did, except food services. So we checked with the food services federal agency, and they allow us to buy a truck, and they couldn't care less what we do with the old truck. So what did we do? We bought a new truck for food services, and the desperate folks in maintenance that really needed the truck got a used truck directly from food services. It's written off. It's fantastic. And it's a true savings because now that truck that was needed for deliveries got bought. That's a true transfer of an expense that we had in the general fund. And finally, the one that hurts a little bit, our balance contribution. We are looking at the ending balance, as the superintendent says, a rainy day fund. And at this point, we're looking for this year to meet the needs as we go into next year and to prepare. We need about 358. It might be a little less, it might be a little more because every day things change, but it's a small amount or about, about 12.64% of the total. If you remember, district efficiencies, 35%, district transfers, 32%, revenue generation, 31%. Out of the transfers, out of that 32%, about 12% is our contribution from what we will call the bottom line. So what does that do? This is a picture of where we are today. The red is the bad, the green is the good. Our revenue limit, as I mentioned to you, got really cut. That $1.2 million is gone, is real, so it's there. The state programs got really cut as we discussed things with our categories of folks in instruction, it's real. Our interest rates, even though it's not really a cut, it's a reduction. We feel it in our budget. And finally, you see a black line, because even though the COLA is a cut, we anticipated that well this year. So as you look across, our balances pretty much take care of the COLA, and that is fair. We've been building our balances thanks to the COLA. We took care of the COLA reduction with that. The adjustments that we made to our budgets pretty much take care of the interest and a significant portion of the state program reductions. The efficiencies that the superintendent was mentioning, that long list that we showed you, takes care of a significant portion of the state programs and part of the revenue limit. And finally, the ongoing revenues that we've generated take care of the revenue limit loss. Now, what does that mean for us? That means that we have been increasing our ending balance every year. That slows down. Imagine a curve going up, it's now plateaued. What we're trying to do now is maintain. As the state economy continues to deteriorate, our job is to maintain the strong position in our budget and the cash flow, and that's what we're attempting to do with this. Finally, what does the interim report in our budget look like? Our revenue limit continues to increase as a proportion of our budget. When I started here, it was about 65. It's now 68%. What does that mean? Every year, we're more dependent in ADA. That's really what this chart is showing you. Our federal is down to 5%. It was about 7 2 years ago. Our state has gone up 1 point to 23, and local remains at 4. Why does local remain at 4? Because of interest. Up until a couple of years, it went up a little bit. As interest went down, it went down a point. On the expenditure side, almost no changes from last year. This is almost the same except for one area, and I'll explain it. The certificated salaries continue to be about half of our budget. Classified and benefits, 15% each. That's no change since 2 years ago. Books and supplies has fluctuated between 6 and 8. It's right now smack in the middle at 7. Services has gone from 9 to 12%. We're at 11 right now. And other outgo has typically stayed at 3. The one that really is a little bit significant is that capital outlay. That's a reflection of our reduced deferred maintenance that I mentioned to you from the state. There's really not a lot of money there, but we're still going to do the services, just being a little more efficient. Finally, what happens after now? As opposed to the state, we have to have a budget developed and balanced by June 30. You will see us within the next couple of months do the same thing that we do every year, do updates, and then present a budget for your approval that we expect to be balanced. The state budget, they're telling us now at the county that they're going to be giving us some factors that they want us to use. Now, if you look at the interim today, it looks like an incredibly conservative document. Why is that? Well, the county put restrictions this year. As opposed to allowing us to do our projections, they put certain numbers. And one of you asked, well, why does it look like in some areas we are like in a deficit position? And why are you saying that? Well, the state gave a proposal. Our proposal was slightly different. The county said if you want to pass your interim report, you will use our projection. So when we tell the county, for example, in some of our accounts there's a deficit position, all we're saying is following their guidelines, but under our guidelines, what will be audited, there is no deficit position at the end of the year. The projections and assumptions from the county will change again. We expect to have attendance and staffing analysis within the next few months. And as you know, the federal program operates on a different calendar, so we'll bring you that information as it becomes available. Once the state budget is adopted, and the latest news that we have is, again, looking at a long, long process, we will make whatever adjustments are necessary within those 45 days. In front of you, you have an interim report that, as I mentioned, we expect to be passed by the county and by the auditors. And the budget information that we are giving you is using the best data that we have right now. The milestones now are May, the election. If that changes, the superintendent will direct us to make revisions to that. If anything changes with the federal allocation, if it's delayed or if it's suspended, as some people are claiming, we will come back to you. None of those dollars are included here to balance our budget. So right now our budgets are balancing without taking into account any potential new income coming from the feds. And that's my report.
Do you have any questions?
Okay, so you said that the COLA is going to be 5.02%, but not funded. Again, what's that significance to us? I mean,
you know, the only thing it does, and all of you have seen this before, it allows the governor to announce that there's a COLA. They're not funded, it's not published. That's just said
why?
To us.
And that's Prop 98, though, too.
Exactly. That formula in Prop 98 mandates the announcement of a COLA because of the tiers structure. But unfunding it is not illegal, so for us it's still a bet zero. I mean, you can put it any percentage and it still adds to zero.
And is you confident that this 9.86% reduction of the deficit reduction?
Yes.
Will. So that, and you said before that that's a they giveth and then taketh away, right?
Well, the deficit reduction, now they took it away. So we are putting it in our budget as a complete takeaway for this year. And also for next year, as we did our multi-year projections, we are taking into account the compounding factor of the 15.4 on categoricals, our revenue limit reduction, and that extra for next year, the total is 3.5.
You said also this negative 2.61 in the 208-209. That's an actual, is that what you're saying, or is that 2.61 what you're projecting for next year?
That's an actual, and that's what translates into the $2.8 million that we explained, correct. And as I mentioned, if you look right behind you, Steve, the way we calculate it is not by doing a projection. I did it in actual dollars, so it's our actual dollars to the set, the 2.61.
You said in these efficiencies through staff and that sort of thing, and that, and you know, we've been doing this for a long time, and that's you know, that's probably of everything that you said today is probably the most troubling. But you're saying that this flex from California, this $130,000, is that that's was that just recently passed with this that they're talking about and all that? Because I, you know, I heard different variations of things, and finally I quit listening. So is that what that was?
Yes.
Giving, in effect, you can use SIP for whatever you want to. You can use categorical for every, virtually anything you want to.
Correct. And you have two ways of doing it. One way that we could do it is what is called a direct capture, meaning those dollars are scooped. The other option, and we've been discussing it, is that you grab an expenditure that normally would have been done in another area and transfer that expenditure. Either way is the same net result to the loss of the general fund.
But in effect, though, you're talking about $1 million worth of
corrections, adjustments.
Well, okay, but it's basically classified reductions, right? Just cross-board classified reductions. The next page, you talked about partner agencies and the efficiencies through all of that. But don't we also have a partnership with the various associations in the district too, in addition to what you're talking about, and can we look towards perhaps getting concessions from a professional staff in that capacity to help save jobs?
Well, we can look at any type of solution. The ones that I'm offering here take care of our current challenge, but if in the future there were any other needs, I'm sure we could look at other alternatives. Right now what you have here balances the budget to the end of the year and into next year with this proposal.
I really appreciate, you know, what you've done. You know, when we hold our breath, I mean, when the superintendent mentioned Roland going out to parcel taxes and the Tribune's portrayal of that is in effect that between the state failures, federal failures, you know, oh good God, it wasn't the district failures or the district's overspending as such that caused them to have to, oh, we can't cut, we have to go out and another tax and that. So, so far so good, but we'll see. Thanks.
George?
The funded RL you're referring to is 5641.62, 208-209, that's the R88, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And to your knowledge, we have no need to reopen negotiations to accommodate our budget.
Like I said to Mr. Cox, at the current time, what we had as a directive, and again, you know, the superintendent guided us through this process, was to look at every alternative possible in every position, try to protect the instructional program as best as possible, try to minimize any loss of employment, and use our resources that we've been building over several years. We kind of did those first. We first look at all our resources, what do we have, and the leftover, it was partially ending balance and partially some reductions, but we didn't have an additional need to encroach into anything else because this meets the need and the projected needs.
So the creative expertise of the cabinet as it exists today, chosen by the board majority, has been able to expound for students without a fear of them losing instruction in the classroom in terms of a need to remove personnel to do so, at least as it exists now.
That's what we are.
That's good to hear.
I would just underscore, and especially because, you know, people are in the audience, that teachers will have less supplies. Schools will have less supplies. They will not be able to get perhaps the number of conference attendance that they've had or the number of substitutes that we've enjoyed in order to do training. There will be some definite sacrifices. I don't want anybody to think that there won't be, because there will be. And I'm sure at the next board meeting, you will have people who are going to be reduced in hours, or their position is being cut and they're being offered a different position, that will not be happy. This is not a happy time. This is not a time for us to pretend that everything's okay. On the other hand, I think it's incumbent upon all of us to remember that we are fortunate that we have had very good policy making and management. Many of the superintendents, including some of the districts that are talking parcel taxes, took the remainder of their COLA and either gave it to salaries or used it for programs. Many of the districts around us decided that it was just easier to increase class size. There are easy fixes, in my opinion, over the years that I've been doing this, and there are the tough fixes. But our goal this year was to continue to have our students receive the services that they need. And we have, I think, done that in a very diligent way. Everybody in the room, Tandy Taylor, Mike Seaman, Mary Kaufman, Jan Pickett, Ruben Frutos, have sat for hours and hours looking at every single penny that comes into the district and gets spent. And we've had lots of late nights arguing about where to take money from. So you need to know that it's not with a lack of sacrifice. We just believe that it is in the best interest of our kids to do it the way we are proposing at this time. That could change after May. It could change next year. But right now, we want to put the message out there that we should all feel, you know, that we're not all going to say that everything is fine. Because when your principals come here on Thursday and they see their allocations and their budgets and the reductions, they're going to scream because they're going to feel the hits. And our teachers will feel that as well.
But not in salary.
Not in salary at this time.
Some comments as to, you know, how come the budgets are being discussed now? Well, this slide is from our November presentation, and I wanted to paint a picture. Back then, the legislative analyst office told us, figure budgeting a $150 per ADA reduction. That would have meant our budget would have only lost $1.4 million. Mm-hmm. If we had done that to you guys, we would be right now talking about how to chop another $1.5 million that wouldn't be anticipated. The one in the middle was the governor's. And if you notice, it included the COLA. So if you take the 2.9 and reduce it by the 343 that they took away from the COLA, that takes you around $2.6 million. That's what we brought to you in November. Here we are now in March at 2.8. It's not too bad. So that's what we were anticipating. That's what we've done. And that's where we are.
Mr. Spence?
Actually, we have kind of two items that are a little mm-hmm. bit different on the agenda, because we're approving the certification of this budget report, and then we had a budget update, which is what all this is about, and that's a little bit more forward-looking. So if I could ask some questions about the first part, the thing we're voting on, and then talk about the budget update, that would be helpful for how I'm kind of structured. And that is, if you can turn to page 11B, on the there's several items that aren't met that we're marking as, even though we have a positive certification. I'm just trying to get an idea. For example, S2, we're saying that, yes, we are using one-time money for ongoing general fund expenditures.
Yes. And actually, is that another board member asked that same question, and I can explain it.
Well, here. I'll ask it in public then.
Okay. We have multi-year contracts, for example, and one of the contracts that we just renewed is for some of our computing equipment. We have a machine called a Fortinet. That's a multi-year. We don't want to get rid of that machine. It was almost $100,000. It's a firewall, and it does some of our bandwidth management. We did sign a multi-year contract because that's the only way you can get that machine. So even though we are on an ongoing commitment. It's an ongoing commitment, even though we could sunset it in any one year. We are using a one-time money because we get some funding that's in a grant format that allows us to discount that. So we are using one-time money. What we're not doing is using one-time money for what we call things that eat. We are using one-time money for a lot of things that are multi-year commitments, but we don't do it a lot for personnel, or we try to minimize it to the best of our.
And then that money doesn't show up in our general fund balance that we're going to be transferring in.
No, it actually does show in the general.
Okay, so we're transferring in
expenditure, not as a transfer, as an expenditure.
But so this the so-called rainy day fund thing, that money is not in there. That one time money is not in there.
That money is part of our expenditure account, okay. And the reason why it's scheduled that way is that you'll see the same expenditure every year. If you see,
mm-hmm.
for example, $47,000, $47,000, $47,000, mm-hmm. it looks like we're funding something. Well, in some cases, it's a multi-year agreement. The same happens with services. We're in the middle of 2 years of litigation, and if you remember 3 years ago, we set aside some money for litigation. It's for a very specific case that we still have going with our facilities. Now, that money was that 10% set aside, but it's a multi-year commitment, so even though it's one-time money, you only gave us the money once, we carry
it shows
it,
up there.
So we need to explain it that way.
Okay. 6B, if we go up, projected operating expenditures, books and supplies for the current and two subsequent fiscal years have not changed by more than 5% since the first interim. Not bad.
You know, I would say that's a good thing, but it's marked as a bad thing. The fact that our first and second interims match, I would never argue that point, and it's marked as a not met. Because we sometimes adjust based on whatever is purchased, but it's because we are dealing in reality. If you saw my second interim not change at all from my first, you could question, well, you didn't really update. So in our case, if it deviates more than the 5%,
right.
is that we are, for example, buying materials that they didn't need first semester, that somebody else is buying.
Well, wouldn't that show up, though, when the budget was approved in June? I mean, wouldn't that all show up in as far as that budgetary process?
No, because in some cases, some of the expenditures that we have in June, and I'll give you one example. If we're going to buy, 2 years ago, we started buying projectors. And I don't remember a book right now, so I'll use the projector. When we started the budget, we had a projected expenditure of around $50,000. By the time we were done and we mounted them and did a variety of things, we used several sources of funding, and it was way beyond the 5% differential. Right now we have a contract where we built a couple of structures in our schools. One of them was a necessary ramp for handicap use. When we started the budget, still was a little lower. It went up, and it's about 8% higher. Those two reflect on that. Mm-hmm. So anything that has been an actual expenditure is different from the budget that we do in June. We reflect that as an actual, and it triggers that.
Now, when that come out of those next two items, though, the maintenance accounts, which we also did not meet?
You know, other expenditures and, the equipment wouldn't, for example, the projectors wouldn't be out of maintenance.
Okay, then why didn't we meet the maintenance requirements? I mean, we kind of know all this stuff in June.
For two reasons this year, we couldn't anticipate our fire. So there was no...
That's included in here?
Absolutely. So that one is one of those that we could tell.
And
the
so then the insurance money comes in?
It repays. And you've been seeing it in all our purchases as fire restock. It's still our money. I mean, we buy the widget first, and then somebody reimburses us. But my differential of an expenditure account in routine at the beginning of the year, and I just bought a mower for $80,000, there's no way we could have anticipated something else.
Okay, thank you. And then on the budget update stuff.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about it, and I'm grateful that we're now talking about it. As you know, as the board knows, I've been bringing this up that I thought we need to deal with this actually more proactively than talking about this meeting. Karen Bass said today that there's going to be a $4 billion hole by June, and that's assuming that all the ballot measures pass. They're already $1 billion behind in February sales tax revenue. So, you know, the idea, and I know you've put up with me calling you an ostrich at different meetings, and the superintendent has too, you know, things aren't good. And there's going to be, probably inflation, probably all kinds of things. And maybe it's because, you know, I was part of the board that paid back the bankruptcy. And, you know, and that's one of the reasons I think our board generally, with a couple exceptions, has been very conservative fiscally, is because of that remembrance of what happened and the pain and the lack of focus on dealing with these issues around instruction, you know, that happened during that time period. So I do appreciate you putting up with me calling you an ostrich and all those things, but I do think that we're not focusing sometimes on things. If had we started acting in November, I wonder how many more jobs we might have been able to save and how many other instructional things we could have provided students had we made changes back in November. When I look at the efficiencies, and you detail them up there, some of those are really transfers to our categorical programs. Am I wrong in seeing that?
No, you are not. Okay. If you remember, out of the 2.8, almost a third is categorical.
Right. So we save money in the general fund, or we get money in the general fund because we're charging out these expenses to the categoricals.
Correct.
So my question is then, what are we losing on that categorical end?
Well, in some cases, you are losing in the transfer, and I'll give you one example. Our budgets, for example, SIP, if SIP absorbs a cost that was mm-hmm. in the general fund.
Yeah, what aren't they doing?
Two things that are happening. They are looking at any type of revenue increases that are happening to categoricals. In the general fund, we know what we have. It is what it is. It's not going to change. In the area of categoricals, one of the, I guess you can call them good things or bad things, is that there are differences in some of their calendars. So there is an anticipation for some revenues that can help offset some of these things. But you're right. If an amount is transferred from SIP to the general fund, SIP, for example, would lose that amount presently.
Right, or EIA would be another one.
Or EIA. Yeah. But because they have that transferability that the general fund
can I try to explain two things?
I understand that transferability. I understand that completely. You know,
well,
I'm just trying to figure out what did we lose on the categorical
In some cases, we lose carryover money because our schools didn't spend all the money that they were allocated.
Okay.
Number two, acting in November, all of these things that you're seeing here, the board may not have acted, but we've been acting since the first day of the school year to save money in order to have this brought to you at this point. So just because the board hasn't taken action doesn't mean that your administration hasn't taken action not to backfill positions, not to be prudent in terms of what positions got filled and which ones didn't. I know that you're used to having a discussion about should we cut class size, should we do furloughs, should we do this, or should we do that? Unfortunately, you hired a superintendent that believes that, in my experience and my, quote, skill level, to bring you the best program with the least hit on students. So at this point, what we've done, and it's important, you know, when you put things on the record that I correct you, Mr. Spence.
No, I agree. I think there's a complete difference of opinion on who should be involved in the process of deciding what's cut. I actually agree with you. You know, the administrators, we found out finally that the administration has been taking action. We haven't been updated about that. I asked in December about hiring freezes. I brought this up a few meetings ago, and I do agree with you that you have been acting,
no,
and the board hasn't known about
no,
it.
If you go back to the record, the board indicated that they wanted me to continue to go forward.
Actually,
the board indicated
the board has not had
that
input
I should
into
go
those
forward.
Things. The board has not had input into those things.
The board,
and I agree with you. That
the
is
board,
absolutely
true. The board is receiving today. Now remember
But answer my question about what we're losing.
And part of that answer is we may be losing carryover dollars that have gone unspent. Okay. We may be losing a clerical position.
Okay.
Or clerical assistance. We may be losing some conference attendance. We may be losing some substitutes for training. We may be losing a supply that somebody, you know, wanted to have, or an added amount of paper for a certain department. There's numerous things that are being traded off every single day that we make a decision in this district.
Right. And when will we be able to see what we actually lost on that categorical side?
Okay, well,
I understand the carryover money, that's not a problem because that's money that's not being spent.
But there
may be programs that are being impacted that it would be good, at least at a minimum, for the board to have some knowledge so that when someone says, how come I lost my whatever, we would know that, oh, well, because we shifted your money to the general fund to cover the cost of something else. I mean, I would like to know that.
Mm-hmm. And when you have your next report, remember that we don't act until we present to you and you give us a go-ahead. So even today, the things that we are proposing to you aren't done deals. If the board said, you know what, Superintendent, we've heard you. We have a disagreement with you in how you're balancing our budget. We'd prefer that you'd bring a list. If the board had directed me that in November, December, January, February, or March, that's what the superintendent will do. But the board has not done that.
I would say they've done just the opposite, because I've sat here. No, I've sat right here and said, I don't want to see every little expenditure. So there's at least one board member that said, I don't want to see a list on every expenditure.
There's been a consensus on how it's been done. Do you have any further?
That's not true.
Do you have any other questions?
That's not true. Not a consensus. It's not a consensus. There's a majority that prefers not to know things going on.
But that is not
true.
Do you have any further questions?
I do, but it's not a consensus. Use the right word. Use the right word. A consensus is we're all in agreement on it. We aren't all in agreement on it.
Mr. Spence, do you have any more questions?
Actually, I do, and we are.
Please go on. Please move on.
District. So that's district efficiencies. Some of those efficiencies are charging things to categoricals. And I would like to know, maybe the rest of the board doesn't, I would like to know how those things have been impacted. If the rest of the board doesn't want to know, I understand that. You know, it kind of fits in, but that's something I would like to know. When we go to district transfers and balance contribution, and that's where we, wait a minute, where is it? So the proposal is then that we will be taking out of our reserves $350,000 or so to cover our projected 2.0 shortfall.
That is correct.
Okay.
And it's about.
So we are tapping our reserves for that. So what is our reserve amount minus that?
It all depends on what we spend till the end of the year.
Right, but like, what's our reserve right now? From last year, what's our reserve?
We have an unencumbered amount of about $10 million minus this. So right now, I would give you an estimate of $9.5 million, assuming that there are some other expenses that we need to accrue until the end of the year.
Okay.
That is unencumbered. There are other areas, as you know, like lottery, that we do differently at this time.
Great. District revenue generation. I do want to commend you. And staff on this, you know, a year and a half ago, we thought our charter schools were costing us money. And in April, we couldn't tell what the expenses were. And now we know we're generating revenues, you know, from them. And it's great. I guess we're lucky that our charters are subsidizing some of our ongoing costs. But I did have a question about facilities. And that is, because there are some facilities that aren't paying their fair share compared to other contracts. So when are we going to deal with all of those?
As the contracts come up for renewal, we've been renegotiating them to a fairly similar formula. And if you remember, the formula that we used was a percentage of market, and it was a small percentage of market that we did. One exception, and this is one that we brought to you during the budget discussion, is that one that we wanted to bring to you was our negotiations with the YMCA. The reason why we didn't do that is that in the implementation of the YASIS program, there is a contribution that needs to be afforded, so we don't have to renegotiate that contract. Mm-hmm. That becomes part of the contribution. So a big one that you would have seen will not happen until YASIS sunsets, because now it's part of the formula for the funding. Yeah. Another one that will be coming up, and we're in discussions right now, is ROP. We just, mm-hmm. they had some changes, and
right.
we are going to be meeting with them. Adult Ed, they had some changes in their management, and mm-hmm. we had the first of two meetings to renegotiate the contract, which will bring to you a modified version of the same thing that we've done before. So we're trying to do them as we can. We missed the boat on one, because if you remember, the YWCA left before we could renegotiate, and we never updated anything there, but it was taken over by the YASIS program. So we've only missed one in the last 3 years, and as the programs come up, we do it. Some of our partner programs in Coronado, for example, we did a reduction in space. So you're going to see contracts where we lose money. Our adult program, if you remember, had three large, I'm going to call them labs, I don't have a better word for it. It went down to one glass. Before they had wood, they had
all the kiln wood.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we haven't, they haven't actually asked for a renegotiation. That's going to be a loss to us. So we do them as they become, as we sunset a year or as we have an opportunity to discuss it with them. My two big ones that I'm thinking of bringing to you soon are ROP and adult ed as they sunset.
Now, when can we get a list of those and like when they're going to come up and that kind of stuff?
Sure.
Because obviously those are revenues that we can benefit from at some point. Have we looked at the whole adult ed picture now that there's change in leadership over at Tri-Valley?
That's the one that we've already had.
No. Not just the negotiating. I mean, in a total package. I've always felt ever since, this happened before me, we left Tri-Valley, and then they went back to Tri-Valley, and we didn't go back in actually as a full partner to Tri-Valley. Tri-Cities. We went back sort of as a contract with them, I guess would be kind of the status. Have we talked about if there's better ways for us to do adult ed across the board that may be beneficial for us, financially rather than the current system that we have now? Are we looking at long-term things like that?
Our current discussions do look at the entire contract and the provision of service. We haven't gone as far as to modifying the service. What we have done, however, is you are correct. The formula calls for flat amounts. It never called for incrementals. It never called for call updates. There's a flat amount of dollars that they contribute to us, and then they benefit.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's also a limit, and the limit is on the number of units that West Covina was able to acquire. We had a limited program, and apparently when the law changed, I guess in the late 70s or at some point, we ended up with a smaller program, and I guess it was a good idea at the time to get just a fixed amount. We are negotiating now to get away from the fixed amount, use our limits, and try to maximize the amount. Then, as we've done with other programs, we will then consider, is it a good idea to do it ourselves? And I'll give you an example where we did that.
Or partner with someone else.
Candy and I started looking, is it worthwhile to do some of the summer programs? But once we crunched the numbers, we didn't really gain a lot doing it ourselves as opposed to just maximizing the formula.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same approach we're going to use with these folks. Is it worth it to have a flat amount? Absolutely not. Is it worth it to update the formula? Yes. Is it worth it to take over the services? That's a discussion.
That's what we don't know. And there may be other partners that we can use for different services, too.
Like I said, we've already done that with summer school. We can
so you are, okay, so that's something you are looking at. Okay. You said at our next meeting, the superintendent said our next meeting we're going to be talking about the classified side of this. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Classified side of this. When will we be talking about the administrative side of all this? Will that be the meeting following it?
No, we will not be talking about the administrative. You've already done certificated. As you know, certificated has to be noticed by March 15th.
Yeah, correct.
And we did that way ahead of time. And you have a list of which positions we have noticed.
Yeah, teaching.
No, certificated.
Certificated. It has counselors. It has everybody.
Okay, were there any administrators in that list or anything we're looking at administratively?
Administratively, the thing that we're looking at is moving over an assistant principal to Walnut Grove, but basically our schools have one principal,
mm-hmm.
which is required by law at each of the sites in terms of supervision. You have a principal. At the middle school level, you have a principal, and you will have one assistant principal. Now, if the board would like to say that a school of 700 students should be run without an assistant principal, I would be surprised that that would be beneficial, but it isn't something that I considered. We are not a district that has an excess of administration in any capacity. In fact, I would put our district up against any district our size or even, smaller or larger in comparisons.
I wasn't talking necessarily about assistant principals. I was focusing more on the administrative offices here. Obviously, if we have less employees, we have a small drop in our students. I didn't see any of the positions that we were talking about up here in the efficiencies.
Oh. Because they're being transferred to our new school that's being open. So, for example, a clerical position that gets cut at Edgewood now goes over to the added
right.
increase of students at Walnut Grove.
Right.
So most positions...
The assistant principal would be the same way.
Yes.
Because there's a reduction in students
yes.
there, there'd be an assistant
right.
principal.
So that's not a reduction in force, that's just
right.
a transfer.
Right. And again, I'm not talking necessarily about our schools as much as I'm talking about our administrative offices.
Okay, in our administrative yeah. offices, we basically have, as you know, in certificated staff, you have two assistant superintendents, you have two directors,
and you have a coordinator, which is probably, like I said, I would put up that group against any other in terms of the number of hats that each of them have to.
Well, I will just make the observation that over the last, you know, few years, we have extended and elevated positions and increased salaries for positions here in the district office. And, you know, I think at some point, maybe not in this first round, but if things continue to get bad, you know, we will have to look at all our options, not just those that happen on school sites.
Well, I think you could look at that. I will probably be coming back recommending a salary increase for some of the positions because I believe the quality of the administrators in the position require competitiveness and knowledge. For example, in our special ed department, we lost a director to a small district because she was making $10,000 more in a smaller district. So I think if we're going to look at salary comparisons of any position in the district office, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, well, the same could be said about teachers and others, too. I mean,
you weren't talking about teachers, but we could go there as well.
I mean, but the point is you don't have money to give raises to everybody.
I mean, you know, Mr. Spence, when you make a valid point that's constructive, I'm happy to entertain it. When you're being destructive and illogical in your position, because you already know.
We're not looking at anything at the district office.
We are looking at tons of positions at the district office.
You know, two months ago, this is improvement because a month ago you said there weren't going to be any layoffs.
There aren't going to be any layoffs, Mr. Spence.
Yeah, we are going to have to
layoffs. No, there are not going to be any layoffs.
If we reduce positions, those are called layoffs.
Whether there are people
in them or not.
No, because the people are going to have a position.
No, they'll have a job, but the position will be gone. So the answer is we will not be looking at this office or the administration at any of our future meetings in the short term.
The answer is we needed to have done that by March 15th, and you didn't bring it up ahead of time.
You never requested that to be agendized.
Reduction in administrative positions of the district office.
I did not hear that request. I have been very patient in bringing up this stuff. I know the majority of the board doesn't want to hear it from me. I know that. And that's why I referred to the ostrich thing, and at the last meeting I brought up that we aren't doing any layoffs. You know, if you really want to go down that road about me not agendizing things, I will agendize things at our next meeting. Let's look at last year's expenditures here at the district office and what's proposed for the coming year. Let's do that, because what I don't want to have happen is suddenly we're getting whacked by the state and we go back into classrooms again and hit stuff that's closer to kids while the administrative office stays intact. And that's what's happened before with other superintendents. They come at the last minute with their proposed cuts because they know they have the board, and the board will rubber stamp what they want.
So if
you want to start playing that game, that's fine. I'll be happy to play it with you.
Mr. Spence, I hear your frustration. I think that your frustration has to do with the fact that when you don't have agreement, you get very upset. And unfortunately and luckily, we live in this democracy where it takes a whole group of people to make decisions rather than one person.
What we've done today is
very clear, very transparent. We've put on the record for everyone to see what the district plan is. Now, if you had an interest in cutting administration in any position, I would have liked to have heard that via a phone call or a record request. But since you didn't, okay, we proceeded in the best manner to put that on
this.
The record.
I asked the month before about
you never
this stuff.
Asked
I
mean, about
how
any
we're dealing with this budget stuff, and you haven't wanted to deal with it.
Oh, okay. Now you ran out the clock.
Fine, you ran out the clock. Don't worry.
I've been dealing with it in the matter, Mr. Spence. You won't run out the clock again.
But the superintendent has dealt with it and is here in
you
front of
us now. You won't run out the clock again. That's
now,
fine.
Mr. Spence, you didn't deal with
it's
it in the manner that you wanted.
Jessica hasn't had a chance to speak.
I got it.
Jessica, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. I really just have a comment, and that is, Mr. Spence, I would like to respectfully disagree with your position that we haven't known what our district administration is doing. When you brought up the hiring freeze in December, Ms. Lace Castillo was very clear in telling the board that they have not filled positions that are unnecessary to the district. They have, as time has gone on and they've seen this coming, minimized expenditures. As I said, not fill positions we don't need, move people around, and that is clearly evidenced by the fact that our district administration thought we would have a $2.9 million cut this year, and we're facing $2.8 million. So by the board majority not wanting the details or burying our head in the sand, as you're referring to with the ostrich, we have reached a position that, as of an approved budget, finally, we are basically fine. Yes, there will be less supplies, but we are not laying off teachers. Yes, there will be less classified, which sort of, less classified positions, but once again, they're positions that could be lost, but the people are not losing their jobs. So I understand that you may be frustrated with the fact that this hasn't needed to be a huge issue where you get to hack at certificated staff.
I don't want to hack.
And cut their salaries and talk about, you know, basically how useless our instructional program is to our district. But you need to give some credit where credit is due, and that is to our district administration and a board who has listened to it when they said, we know what we are doing. You hired us to do a job. And for those board members who listened to the stuff that we're being told, they chose not to disagree with it, or by not disagreeing with it, agreed with the process that was happening. I am appalled by the conduct that I've seen here tonight. Instead of having huge cuts, you know, I was at an ROP board meeting where the six other board members have long faces because, you know, everybody in their district hates them because they've had to send out letters to everybody. We're in a district that's not having to do that, and instead of celebrating that fact and saying, whoosh, we did a good job, our district administration did a good job, this has turned into, well, we should have done this, this, and this. Well, the steps that were followed led us to a position where we are going to be hit, we do not have to sit at a different board meeting and say, you know, I just don't know what we're going to do. So thank you to Ms. Lace Castillo and the cabinet and their support staff, all of which is necessary to our district, for their hard work, and thank you on behalf of the students who will continue to have their programs.
I, too, appreciate what staff has done. I appreciate Ruben giving us the heads up that it's going to be a 2.6 hit many months ago, and now it was so close to that, and that we were doing efficiencies all along, which kept the hits away from the classrooms. I was just talking to, actually there were five teachers I was talking to one Sunday. They all got notices. What they were saying is that they knew they were supposed to be focusing on children and what was happening, but they were so distracted by what that they might not have a job next year, and that it was hard for them to teach. So we're in a place where our students aren't affected with that. We're really trying to look at each student and what they're doing and how to differentiate in the classroom. We're able to keep our focus on that, which is very important, without the distractions of our staff having to think, how am I going to feed my children at home? What am I going to do next year? How am I going to make my house payment? Yes, they realize that there's going to be, they may not have the supplies they've had in the past. They may not have as much support in the classroom via aides. But all of those people are going to have jobs. And I believe that they're willing to take those sacrifices so everybody else can have a job. And they're still able to concentrate on what we're supposed to do, educate our students. And that's where we're keeping our focus. And I appreciate the staff that have enabled us to do this through this process and not being sidetracked by this budget issues hitting the classroom, when we've been able to, as a board, and I appreciate the longevity of board members sitting here who have been conservative for many years and enabled us to stay focused on student learning and not having to make the cuts to our students.
So thank you. And is there any other questions?
I had one finance question. The vehicle license fee and sales tax increases, are those amounts going to be figured into our budget, the increases?
Well, if I let me try to answer based on what is known right now.
Because we have a lot of vehicles.
Some of those are proposed as having the traditional status as normal registration. So we have the way we will pay will follow the new rules. If they exempt government, we will be exempt. But
it's
not clear at this point. The sales tax, we are like a normal buyer in mm-hmm. many circumstances. And as I mentioned in one of the slides, we are a federal buyer in some stances, like in some of our food products. And we are exempt when we buy across like anybody else would. We will be hit by anything that's state-related, and we will not have any hits on anything that's federal-related on those two. And since we do both, that's the best way I can explain it. Right.
So we don't know what the impact will be at this point.
In dollars? Well, the best thing I could do, if it passes, we could calculate.
No, it's law. It's law. The question is whether it's 2 or 4 years. So it doesn't.
Exactly.
The election starts
so
as matter.
I, yeah. To bring you an amount, I would have to go back, look at our cost of registration. We could do it.
But don't.
It's an estimate.
Okay.
The 3% is calculated based on that 3% of the or designated reserve for?
It's based on the unrestricted and restricted total expenditures for the current year. And when you go into projections, to avoid any mishaps, we actually average it over several years to make sure we don't miss any one.
Oh, all right. Because I was going to say the 3% of the $80 million that you've got is significantly
if you less average
than
it,
that, but you've done
go
it
back in time, exactly, to avoid any spikes of 1 year.
Great.
I'll move this item.
Thank you. Is there a second?
A second.
And that's just the certification. Sorry.
That's the second interim report.
Well,
to approve the second interim report.
I second that. So we have a first and second, or a motion and a second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by George Fuller to approve the second interim report with a positive certification. The vote was unanimous. Any further Board of Education discussion?
Yes, I would. I don't know how else to say it, but if a board member wants to be elected and display their contempt for education and professional educators, that's the community's responsibility, and that's fine. If they want to come up here and say, I don't believe in public education and I think it's the easiest job, that's one thing. The name-calling, Robert's Rules, does not allow for name-calling, and I don't think it's appropriate that a board member be allowed to call anyone on the staff a name of any type, especially during the presentation, or at any other time that they're there. We have power of salary, power of hiring, power of voting, and that puts us in a very position of authority. And to come down and when people can't respond and call them names, that's unacceptable, and I don't think it's within Robert's rules, and I'd like that stopped now, never again. Do I want to hear anybody on staff called a name in a board meeting or in this district office?
Dates to remember, March 24th?
What?
Oh, dates to remember?
Oh, everything's a big deal.
Did you have something to say?
No, I won't.
The Board of Education. The 8:30, we are adjourned.